I'll call to order this meeting of the Senate Housing Committee. If everyone could please turn off their cell phones and take conversations outside so we can hear testimony. We have one item before us today, AB 1487, which we heard and passed previously. After the Governance and Finance Committee, the two committees worked together with the author to make some modifications to the bill, and I think produced a very good product. I want to thank the author as well as Senator McGuire and the staffs of both Housing and Government Finance Committees, as well as regional stakeholders for working collaboratively to produce what I think is a very good bill that does have my positive recommendation. So with that, we will establish a quorum.
Senator Weiner.
Present.
Present. Morrell. Bates.
Here.
Bates, present. Caballero.
Here.
Caballero, present. Durazo. McGuire.
Here.
McGuire, here. Morlock.
Present.
Morlock, present. Roth.
Here.
Roth, present. Skinner. Umberg. Lukowski.
Here.
Lukowski, present.
Okay, we have a quorum. So we'll call AB 1487. Assemblymember Chu.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senators. Let me just thank you for your patience, and if any of you want to have dinner tonight, it's on me. I'm happy to be back presenting this bill to you, and I want to just take a moment and thank the Chairman, and especially Senator McGuire, for your deep engagement on this and helping us to chart a non-traditional path for this bill. As a refresher, AB 1487 is a regional Bay Area bill to address the housing crisis in the Bay Area region. The intent of this bill has been to enable the Bay Area to help itself, to give our nine-county region the authority to raise funding for affordable housing, similar to how our region has legislative authority to raise monies for transportation, as well as for restoration of the San Francisco Bay. The hope is that this authority will help address our housing crisis, where we continue to suffer from the state's highest home prices, record rents, record evictions, and record homelessness levels. The last time we were in this committee, in mid-June, the regional agencies were in the midst of considering recommending amendments to this bill that would convey the support of a broad range of cities and counties in the Bay Area. Since that time, the regional agencies have concluded their process, and in July, I'm pleased to report that they voted to support the bill with significant amendments by a vote of 20-3 at ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments, and by a 13-3 vote at the MTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. We have since incorporated their proposed amendments and worked very closely with Senator McGuire to address concerns that he and others have also raised with the bill. Let me just share some of the high-level details of the bill. In terms of governance, we are not going to be creating a new regional agency or bureaucracy with this bill. Instead, all major decisions related to revenues, expenditures, et cetera, will be made both by ABAG and MTC, with ABAG as the lead agency. In terms of revenue, the share of funds to be distributed directly to counties has been increased by from 75% to at least 80%, reflecting the desire for a higher return to source, with the remaining 20% to go to a regional pool. The exception is a potential tax on employment, where 50% would go to a regional pool, which enables our region to support cities that face the burden of housing the workforce without tax revenues that these jobs would provide. Additionally, the three largest cities in the region would get their allocation of funds for their counties, reflecting their disproportionate share of the burden of building affordable housing. Other cities in the region would get guaranteed funding if they have more than 30% of their county's low-income RENA numbers. In terms of expenditure, at least two-thirds of the funding at the regional and county levels must be dedicated to production and preservation of affordable housing. And monies could also be spent on tenant protections, infrastructure that supports affordable housing, and staff support. We're excited about these changes and our region-wide collaboration. And I want to just take a moment to thank the many stakeholders throughout the Bay Area, as well as all of you, for your engagement. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our witness from the MTC, Rebecca Long.
Thank you, Assemblymember Chu. Good evening, and again, thank you for your patience. I'm the Government Relations Manager for MTC and ABAG, and we're very happy to have reached this stage in this long process. We had a very collaborative process at the regional level. There were a lot of concerns with this bill when it first was introduced by many local elected officials, including many of them on our board. We had an ad hoc committee that focused on the governance questions because that in particular was a very thorny one. Who's going to do what? We have one staff that serves two different boards, and ultimately, as Assembly Member Chu described, we are going to have both boards make decisions about every aspect of this program. And so we had a number of specific amendments. They have all been incorporated. We're very grateful to Assembly Member Chu and Senator McGuire for working closely with our own board members and with other elected officials in the region to get to this point. And just happy to answer any questions and urge your support tonight.
Thank you very much. Is there any additional support for the bill? Please come forward and state your name and affiliation.
Hi, good evening, members. Graciela Castillo Crings. I'm here on behalf of a colleague who could not actually be here tonight to represent the cities of Fremont, Oakland, and Berkeley.
Holly Firmini De Jesus on behalf of the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, SV at Home, Habitat for Humanity, East Bay, Silicon Valley, as well as Enterprise in support.
Good evening, Chair and members. Luis Morante on behalf of California YIMBY in strong support.
Mr. Chair, members, Mike Monaghan on behalf of Mayor London Breed and the City and County of San Francisco in support.
Todd David on behalf of the Bay Area Housing Advocacy Coalition in support.
Is there any additional support for the bill? Okay, seeing none, is there any opposition? Please come forward. Looks like we need two chairs.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, maybe only one chair, Ms. Long. You can come back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Michael Gunning with CBIA. One of my favorite golf movies is Caddyshack, and I feel like the kid that threw the baby Ruth in the pool right now coming here. But I guess our membership participated in the CASA agreement. And we left there with the impression that new housing, residential housing, would not be included as a tax base for this. And so why our opposition here centers around that. In fact, I think if you look at page 13, it specifically says of the bill that the affordable housing needs of the region across commercial developers, businesses above a certain size, taxpayers, and property owners within the region, not necessarily new residential housing. So for me, you know, this is difficult. Chairman Chu's a friend, and we certainly want to come to an agreement. I think our oppose, unless amended, really has to deal with if there's a way to carve out new residential housing. That's what our goal is here, and certainly want to work with both you, Chairman McGuire, and you, Mr. Chu, to figure that out.
Okay.
Thank you. Alex Gibbs here today on behalf of the...
Me too.
Oh, my apologies.
Of course, sir. Mm-hmm.
Any other opposition?
Great, thank you. Yes, Alex Gibbs here today on behalf of the cities of Danville, Pleasanton, Lafayette, and Walnut Creek. We appreciate the author for working with us, but our concerns really stem with the return to source. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other opposition? Okay, we'll bring it back to the committee. So I just want to note that the author and I and Senator McGuire were all chatting before the hearing. I'm glad, and I understand that you'll be in continuing conversations with CBIA about this particular issue. Could you maybe just sort of elaborate on your thinking around this issue?
Certainly. You know, I'll say a few things. I was just personally apprised of the details of this issue really a few hours ago. I had been heard a few days ago. There might be some questions. I'd been expecting a phone call over the weekend. It didn't happen. Here we are today. A few things. It has not been our intent to target and tax residential development. What I understand we're being asked to do is to carve out the application of general taxes for a specific segment that is represented by Mr. Gunning. And I will say a few things about that. First, this bill has been in discussion, very intense discussion around the Bay and here in the Capitol. And unfortunately, this is very last minute. What I had committed to the public was to work very closely with ABAG and MTC on the amendments that we are accepting today. This is simply just not an issue that we have discussed. I wish that we had had time, but we don't. Secondly, there was a suggestion about what was discussed at CASA, and regardless of what was discussed at CASA or not, this is a standalone bill. This bill is frankly, many, many elements of it are very different from what CASA was about. But I just want to make that point. And then I would just end with, it's typically very unprecedented to carve out an industry from, again, general taxation. I think we shouldn't do that lightly. I do think there's a conversation we had, and then I just will end with this point, which is it's not my intent that if there are revenues to be raised in the Bay Area for housing, that we do it in a way that would somehow impede new housing construction. That would be completely counterintuitive. So I think we share the same goals. What I told Mr. Gunning is if we don't have time to figure out an amendment that makes sense to all parties, and I think that would be very difficult, that we would be willing, if we can get to an understanding of this, to consider a letter to the Journal on this topic. And I very much will certainly be working tirelessly to see if we can get there. But those are my comments.
And I appreciate that. I'll turn it over to Senator McGuire. And I know this is sort of a last-minute thing, so I'm as someone who is also an author, I understand that is hard. I also know that recently a report came out a month ago showing the very, very heavy fee load on residential development in California. With huge disparities among cities and ending up making housing more expensive. And so it's an issue that I'm mindful of. I know that the author is mindful of it. And so I appreciate you continuing in that dialogue to see if there is a way to resolve this. Senator McGuire.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to take a moment to say thank you to the chair, who has been deeply engaged in this process, traveling to meetings to ensure all of us were at the table with local elected leaders. And by the way, MTC and ABAG established an ad hoc committee that met with the chair of Assembly Housing and myself, and we've had conference calls, in-person meetings to be able to work through this issue. I want to take a moment to acknowledge Assemblymember Chu. Assemblymember Chu is a warrior. He takes on big issues like this with multiple stakeholders to try to drive consensus. And I believe what you see in front of us today is the fruits of a consensus-driven process that's had multiple voices at the table, and by the way, from diverse backgrounds and organizations. So if it's okay, Mr. Chair, just sharing candidly some frustration as we sit here tonight at 10 to 8. We have been very cautious, we being the author, the chair of housing, and myself, about not creating any type of side deals. The process that's been established by MTC and ABAG is that they have appointed an ad hoc. That ad hoc would bring back recommendations from working meetings, which would then be adopted by MTC, Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and the Association of Area Governments. There's been deep engagement by that ad hoc. We have had deep engagement with multiple stakeholders, everything from nonprofit housing developers to for-profit housing developers, cities and counties, tenants, organizations, you name it, they have been involved in this process. And while we have not always agreed on all issues, we were able to come to the agreement that you see in front of us here tonight. We established a collaborative process with deep engagement from cities and counties across the Bay Area. And by the way, multiple voices with diverse backgrounds, and as we all know, anyone who has been focused on housing, not easy to drive consensus. I will characterize this as a last-minute bomb. And quite frankly, it's a ludicrous approach. So I will speak for myself. Governance and finance, the consultants on governance and finance have not heard from this organization, with all due respect for the representative, because he is fantastic what he does, but for the organization, we have not heard from them. The first thing that we hear from is an hour ago. This is not acceptable. There have been multiple opportunities, both working with chair of housing from both the Assembly and the Senate, to be able to work with us, to be able to be part of this collaborative process. Not once has this ever happened. I can just speak for myself. for governance and finance. There are also public meetings in which organizations participated in or could have attended. That did not happen. So I want to make a note that in this bill, if there needs to be a further discussion about taxes, it could be had at the local level. All this bill is doing is allowing the voters of the Bay Area to be able to make a decision on revenue options. It essentially provides choices for ABAG and MTC to be able to pick and choose from. Everything that would be everything that is in front of us tonight would all have to be voter approved, which means there can be in-depth discussions at the ABAG and MTC level. And by the way, both boards have to approve before anything is put onto the ballot on this specific issue. But quite candidly, I have no appetite with 1 hour notice prior to this, with opposition, to be able to take anything up here this evening or for the rest of the week. This is less than last minute. And I will get off the frustration box here and just say how much I appreciate both the chair of this committee and Assemblymember Chu for all the work. And I do look forward to being able to sit down with CBIA to be able to have this conversation. They do great work. They are advocating for housing across the state. But on this one issue, I have to disagree.
Okay. Senator Skinner.
Thank you. We've all been in this kind of circumstance. None of us like to be in a situation where something that has been worked on for close to a year now gets a last-minute opposition letter that from an organization that is both respected and carries considerable weight. But the thing that I want to clarify is, so Mr. McGuire, you may have been referencing this, but as far as I understand it, this bill, it's not just that something has to have voter approval, but what this bill does is authorize MTC and ABAG to develop voter measures. And they could, and it gives them the type of tax possibilities, but it does not say, and this is where I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, for example, if they were to choose, if they were to put forward, say, a property tax measure that or include property taxes, if they were to choose that it would not be included on any either new home construction or significant additions to, you know, I'm just, exactly the type of thing when we look at the other ways that we have been trying to both facilitate, green light, and streamline housing by either trying to cap or limit fees or give some tax exemptions and such. As far as I can tell, this bill does not tie the hands of ABAG or MTC in terms of putting in the kind of exemption that CBIA might be advocating for, correct?
You are entirely correct.
Okay. So, given that, and I appreciate their raising the point, because I think that at least I, as a Bay Area member, especially one where I know we have, California has the highest cost of construction right now of anywhere, but the Bay Area has even higher cost of construction than the rest of California. So clearly, we don't want to add anything to making that worse. And we already are seeing now, projects that are that have permits, are fully entitled, and they're just not starting construction because, again, their financing, it's just not making sense, right? So anyway, so my point being that the bill still allows for what was advocated without our having to amend or fix it. Now, secondarily, I'm glad that it does not, I'm tired from the long day, I'll say dictate, wouldn't usually use that term, but it doesn't dictate what types of revenue measures the, it puts a boundary around, you can, here are what you have option for, but it doesn't dictate, you must do this one or you must do that one. And I'm very glad about that because one of the things that has been talked about a lot is sales tax. And we've got every community and county in our district talking about extra sales taxes for everything under the sun. We have our same area wanting sales tax for regional transportation measures, and at a certain point, I mean, I probably already, we are beyond what we can handle a sales tax. So I'm very glad it doesn't dictate it, because there are certain taxes that I would not be supportive of. What I'm very supportive of this bill and of creating this authority and ability to pursue it, but I will be watching very carefully what is exactly structured, because I think that given the income discrepancies in our area and the cost of housing in our area, that whatever is designed really needs to be as less regressive as possible. But anyway, I want to thank you all, and especially you, Assemblymember Chu, for being persistent on this, working so hard on it. And I want to thank the all of the entities in the Bay Area, starting with CASA and then continuing on to many more, who have been, you know, who created the condition to even allow this to get to the point where it is today. And with that, I will be supporting it.
Thank you. And if I first of all, obviously, it would have been, you know, ideal if the issue had been raised a few weeks ago. I'm not disputing that. But regardless of the timing, and I agree with both Senator McGuire and Senator Skinner that having that this has flexibility for what the region will decide to do. And of course, if there's active opposition to any, you know, revenue measure, that's always problematic. And so clearly there will be leverage in having those discussions locally. But I don't want it to get lost despite the late opposition. The concern that we have, you know, in our, one of the challenges we have around housing is that we don't tax long-term property owners. They get a pass, dramatically reduce property taxes. And what we end up taxing is both new residential construction, that gets heavily taxed via impact fees, and then new homeowners, because they get taxed at market rate under Prop 13. So we have this system where we, you know, say new homeowners get taxed a lot, and homes that don't even have people living in them yet get taxed a lot. And so it is a real issue. And so again, thank the author for agreeing to continue that conversation. And with that, are there any other comments? Yes, Senator Wieckowski.
Another Bay Area person. I'll move the measure, but I wanted to drive our attention back to page 13, because 64600C says it's the intent of the legislature that the funding, as the chair points out, should come from commercial developers, businesses of certain size, taxpayers, and property owners across the region. So, again, it seems to me that the measure eloquently gives the local authorities, ABAC and MTC, the authority to put on a measure, however they structure that, which is we like to have that local control. And it doesn't bully, but it lays out the intent, which doesn't include what this letter says are loopholes. It doesn't include any of that. It doesn't say go tax new construction. It specifically doesn't call that out. So I know this is a late hour. When I read the opposition letter and I read the plain text, and I know that the process is for the regional agencies to put this on, what am I missing here, Assemblymember? Do you see anywhere in here that specifically calls out for new construction to foot the bill here for these, for housing development?
I don't, and that's why I am still, frankly, and as I've expressed to CBIA, still a little mystified as to exactly what the objection is, because we are not saying in this bill, thou shalt tax residential developers. We're saying we may tax businesses over a certain size, taxpayers, property owners, et cetera, but we're not specifically taxing that entity. But their concern is if they're not specifically carved out from a more general tax, that they would be bearing a tax that is going to be applied generally.
I think it's a conversation we can have, and again, as I've said, I'm very willing to have it.
But if we believe, as the chairman has indicated, that they're already overtaxed, wouldn't those arguments be compelling in front of MTC and ABAG when they were considering a regional tax?
I think it very well could, and as the good senator from Berkeley pointed out, this is absolutely a discussion that can happen between ABAG and the MTC when they consider what they want to do. Again, we're not being prescriptive. We're providing a number of options. And also, just to be abundantly clear, as Senator Skinner said, alluded to, we specifically took out the sales tax as one of the options because we heard from all the localities that that is not an option they want to provide to the nine-county Bay Area region. So,
move the bill.
Okay, we have a motion. And
I have a question.
Yes, Senator Bates.
Yeah, I'm looking at page 13, and my understanding from South Orange County, with a lot of development that went on, property owners are developers. And the property owners in South Orange County own their entitlements are residential development. So I wouldn't think that the BIA is that far off if this particular statement in the intent says property owners within the region, those could be property owners who have entitlements for residential development. And therefore, they would be subject, unless at the local level, they're going to specifically be carved out. And that's a lot of that's a lot of faith to put in to what goes on at local governments. Excuse me, and I've sat on them for years and years. So I think they have a legitimate concern over that that should be addressed going forward. Secondly, I think it might be a little harsh to be jumping all over them when in their own letter. They say that in July they raised concerns about what was being brought forward. So I'm just saying, I think tonight you guys spent a lot of time, a lot of compromise conversations, but I think that they're just asking, and maybe it is a little too late. I don't know when the amendments were put into the bill and when they had the opportunity to see them, but I think they raise serious concerns how this can be managed when it gets out to local government and how it's addressed by the partners to those various local government entities. And I've served, probably too long, 20 to 25 years at local government levels. And these are things that when you've got that kind of a loophole, you just kind of put your fortune on the table in front of a bunch of people who may not share the same concerns that you have regarding property rights that you currently were given through your entitlements. So I just throw that out for discussion, and maybe going forward you'll take a deeper look at that. Tonight I couldn't support it very, based on that alone.
Appreciate the perspective. I'll say a few things just simply in process. I do understand there was at least a conversation or two with my staff. I think it's fair to say there were some misunderstandings between both sides on what they were trying to get at. It wasn't raised with me. And the chairman of this committee, Senator McGuire, and I, we were all very deeply engaged for many, many months, and no one had brought it to our attention. But putting that aside, and also appreciate your point around property owners around the region. Yes, it is possible that CBI members could be in that subset. I think the point here is if we're talking about a carve-out of any of these general taxes, because of this lengthy process we went through, carving out one industry is like pulling at the string, because every other industry sector that doesn't want to be taxed will be asking for the same thing. And so the idea was, we thought it was fair to say, give the region the option of considering a general tax. It's up to them to decide who it would apply to, and that is the intent. But that being said, to your first point, we will continue to engage in this conversation.
I would just ask that when you're talking about property owners who have current entitlements for single-family residential, that has to be discussed, or you've got a huge loophole here, specifically and, generally. There's no question, because governments that currently have zoning on those properties that will be in your region, they currently have entitlements. It's either commercial or it's going to be residential. It might be multifamily. But if they're talking about taxing residential properties and they believe they were not going to be included, then it would seem to me you'd use the entitlement approach because you can, and that zoning can change. But seriously, that's a huge loophole. And I'm just thinking about the last major development in South Orange County is called The Ranch, and it has entitlements for, do I remember this right, John? It was about 14,000 homes, and there's multifamily. There's commercial within that, but it's all set out in a major general plan, as you would expect. well, if that, you know, thinking about being able to tax that many single-family residential homes in that huge development because you wanted more affordable or whatever, this is a huge impact on these individuals. And they need to go to market to get financing, whatever. They've got to have some predictability. And I think that that is something. And I'm just saying, you know, tonight we're going to make the decision on this bill and it'll go to the governor, but you guys need to keep working on that. Or it's going to be, I think, very difficult when it gets to the level of ABAG. And I've sat on, you know, a regional planning organization like that. So I'm just suggesting that.
I appreciate that. We're certainly,
not to beat it to death,
certainly going to keep the conversation going. Again, if we take out one segment of property owners, the segment that's left is going to have real issues. So that's hard. And the other thing I would say is this will get discussed at the local level. And if, for example, if the CBIA local counterparts raise this issue and said they would oppose a revenue measure, I have a feeling MTC and ABAG will think eight times before moving forward with that, because we know to get a two-thirds vote in a region like this really does require significant consensus, and that is what we're going to be pushing for.
Okay, any other questions or comments, colleagues? Okay, seeing none, Assemblymember, would you like to close?
Let me just close by reiterating two things. First, dinner and drinks on me. And then secondly, I want to thank all of you for your deep engagement, everyone, all the stakeholders, but in particular, the chairman who spent many, many hours working with me on this, and the chairman of Govern Finance, who spent many, 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 many hours on this, as well as everyone from MTC and ABAG on this. And with that, I respectfully ask for your vote.
Okay, again, I'm recommending an aye vote on this bill. We have a motion by Senator Wykowski. And with that, we will call the roll. And this is a motion to pass to Govern Finance, right?
I'll pass to the floor, and then it has to be referred back.
Oh, it has to be referred back. Okay. Okay, the motion is to pass to the floor.
Yeah. You need to go to that drinking thing.
Yeah. He's buying me drinks tonight, so that's good.
This is Assembly Bill 1487 by Assemblymember Chu. The motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Senator Weiner.
Aye.
Weiner, aye. Morrell. Bates.
No.
Bates, no. Caballero.
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo.
Aye.
Durazo, aye. McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Morlock. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Umberg. Lukowski.
Aye.
Lukowski, aye.
Thank you, Senators.
We will keep the roll open for Senator Umberg. Move away. Okay, I'm going to close the roll. The vote is 7-1. The motion passes. And we're adjourned.